Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, who is the chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College, is away on a ministry venture, not able to be with us today. And in his place, we have a continued discussion and an opportunity to visit again with our guest host, Brother Will Galkin, who is an evangelist and is here this week doing our opening revival at Northland. Welcome to the broadcast, Will.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about it. Just to kind of recap this up, you're an evangelist. You've been doing this on your own for 5 years.
Yes.
You got a wife, Christy.
Yep.
And kids?
We have four children. Anna Grace is six. William is four. Lily is three. And David is one.
And so you travel the country in a fifth wheel.
That's correct.
And you got a sidekick with you.
That's right. We have Aaron and Stephanie Coffey. They've been traveling with us now for about 2 years. And they were single with the Steve Pettit Evangelistic Dating Service. And after they got married, they joined up with us.
Now, your website is www.galkins.org. Is that right?
That's right.
So if I go to that website, what am I going to find there?
Oh, you'll see our itinerary. You'll see a couple articles.
A couple articles? Like, what do you mean by that?
Oh, just some updates of where we've been, what the Lord's been doing through our ministry. And then you'll also catch a link to our store as well that has some of our music and then some other resources.
Well, that's actually what I want to talk to you a little bit about in the broadcast, because I know that for some time you and Christy and a couple of other buddies of yours have been helping the body of Christ by giving to us fresh, conservative music.
Well, that's definitely the desire. I'm really the least musical of our whole crew. I'd be the behind the scenes, make sure it happens, coordinate schedules, make sure the copyrights are going on, looking how to get it in the hands of people. My wife, though, on the other hand, is very musical. She sings, plays the violin, and really has a heart for the Lord. We've only been able to do two recordings on our own, and we've had folks like Jonathan Albright and Kevin Inafuku and Matt and Christy Taylor, as well as a number of other folks help us with those two recordings.
So what are the recordings you have?
We have one that's entitled Let Christ Be Lifted Up, and then another one which is entitled Give Me Jesus.
So I know you don't have favorites, but which one do you like best?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just put in Let Christ Be Lifted Up and listened through it and just was really touched. There's many songs on there, like Bow the Knee, which is just living in light of the greatness of God and surrendering to what His will is for you.
So, like, walk me through what you do to decide what you're going to do on an album.
Sure. It's, in some ways, it's complex. In some ways, it's very simple. I think of Let Christ Be Lifted Up. We were not going to record as soon as we did, but Evangelist Steve Pettit had a half week open that he'd already paid for in the studio, and so it just worked out. And, you know, I think we had 11 songs ready to go, and then that week somebody walked up and handed us another song, and it's really an answer to prayer. So sometimes it's very thought out in every single thing, and then the others, it kind of comes together.
So how do you pick your music? Where do you go to get your music?
There's a number of places. One, you know, if you hear, I think one song, I was at a Christian college and I was hearing the students sing it. I'm thinking of another song that somebody just walked up to us and said, have you heard this song? Maybe they gave us some sheet music, or maybe another song, you just stumble onto it, you heard somebody sing it and you can sing it in a way that would glorify the Lord. Or, you know, it's just from all different ways. There are a number of clearinghouses that have just scads of music.
See, because guys like me who don't know anything about it, we think like you have this secret place, like you and Steve and Kevin, and you guys like this got this secret place that you go and you get this really powerful stuff, and then you come out and you unleash it on us, and it's like, wow, where did that come from?
Well, yeah, I can see how that comes, because I'd probably identify with you. You know, in our music practices, usually I'm watching our four children, and Christy and the Coffees are hammering out a song, and you know, and it's just very unique how they can take a song and really make sure that the text is pleasing to the Lord. And I'm thankful for a number of songs lately that make a big deal about doctrine and God.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, what does it sound like? What is the tune? Does it fit that message?
Mm-hmm.
And then can we do it in a way that is in contrast to the contemporary worldly culture?
See, that would be incredibly important to people like me and to churches like ours, because there is just a whole group of churches that have completely sold out, not just the style, not just buying into the style of the age, they really have compromised, in my opinion, the truth of the gospel with this.
Hmm. Yeah, especially at that motive. You know, it's hard to delve into people's motives.
Right.
But, you know, whenever somebody starts saying, if I do this music, people are going to respond to the gospel better. It does, that gets scary because now you're cheapening the power of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the gospel.
You know, I have listened to, in fact, I got both of your CDs and they're great. So I'm listening to your CD and God is stirring in my heart. That didn't just happen.
No, no. By God's grace, no.
So how did it happen?
Well, I do believe with all my heart that the hearts of those that are communicating and singing, that as they walk with Christ, it's going to spill out. You know, there are times I'll listen to a CD or somebody sing and they hit every note perfect and I walk away not touched. But there are other times that somebody sings and they may have a warble in their voice or they may hit a note that's a little off key, but I walk away with tears. And there's something about when the servant of God sings a song that they believe and that they live and that they're praying that God would give them grace to communicate.
You know, we're on a radio station, VCY, and this is a network of Christian radio stations that has had a long history of a commitment to giving the people of God good, solid biblical music. And they do a good job of keeping the balance between the old, the hymns that we need to retain, that literally speak to the truth and to our hearts, and bringing in selectively fresh, conservative music. And there's just not a lot of places like that that are doing it the way they're doing it. What are you seeing out there? I mean, we're fortunate to have this vehicle here. What are you seeing out in the rest of the country?
Yes. Well, you know, in a local church perspective, we'd be traveling in predominantly conservative churches, fundamental churches. You know, I am thankful that we are retaining the hymns of the faith. But I do wonder sometimes if in our desire to stay firm on these things, which I am all for, that if we're not careful, we start singing hymns that the words are so memorized and so rote and the tunes are, I don't want to demean them, but for some they would be stale. They'd just be, we've sung that. We know
that.
Yeah,
stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, stand up, sit down.
Yes.
Some more.
You understand the sensitivity I'm trying to show because I don't have an agenda with that.
Well, and I just to make real clear, to set you at ease, well, none of us in the circles that we're in would in any way want to go a route that has been very unhealthy for the church.
Yes.
But how do, I guess what my issue is how do we keep, how do we duplicate what this station has done with amazing success in certain areas in local churches? How do you bring in new without displacing the old and yet not married to the spirit of the age? I mean, how do you bring in fresh? You guys are doing a great job of it.
You know, but that comes with a lot of prayer and carefulness. And there's times we chuck songs, and there's times that we
embrace
songs.
Give me an example. All right, so, you're getting ready to put an album together, and you got like 10 songs.
Yes.
And you're saying, okay, what is there like a grid that you go through that's this isn't going to go?
I'm understanding what you're saying. You know, let's say we've got these 10 songs. The grid has already taken place. And the 10 songs by that time hopefully have been really worked over.
Or how does the song get into your 10?
First of all, you go right to the words. We do have some simple songs. Like on this last CD, we have a song entitled Give Me Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's a great song.
And the words are very simple.
Right.
But the truth is very deep. And when it's married to a Negro spiritual type of a sound, with Christy singing with her soprano voice, it communicates.
It does. It makes chills run up and down your back.
Because it goes straight to the heart. And so first of all, you look at the words. Mm-hmm. Are they true? Mm-hmm. Are they trite?
Do they trivialize God in some way, or truth about God?
Yes.
And if there's a trivialization or a lack of biblical fidelity, I'm assuming that doesn't even get past.
Well, we had one song. It just had a beautiful tune, and half the words were great, and then there were a couple sentences in there that, well, we couldn't figure them out. What were they trying to communicate? And finally, we just scrapped it. And it would have sounded good, but it wouldn't have fit into our mission. And so, first of all, the words, and then I think with the tune and style, if we were to blend that into one conversation, I think trying to sing something that touches the heart but does not identify itself with the sound of today's sinful culture.
Yeah, and that's, I think, you guys have managed to do that. That is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Yes, you're right. And there are times that we've shelved a couple songs. We said, you know what, these words are right. We know we're singing this from a right heart, but we don't know how to make it in a way to make this sound more of a sound that we're trying to accomplish. And there are also times that you sing a song and it's everything about it is perfect, but it doesn't touch the heart. And I think that grid should work on both ends.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. What are some hymns that we've been singing your whole life that you're seeing as you travel that are just incredibly connecting to where the people of God are today?
You mean some hymns that are still sung? In
I
think And Can It Be is a great song. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Yeah,
But that song, it talks deep theology. We would be amiss if those kind of songs fell out of our musical libraries.
Hmm.
Off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of any of that.
What are some new ones that you found that are coming in and just breathing right alongside those old hymns that are just kind of like just matching up to these old hymns and carrying forth the mission of conservative, fresh music that helps us to adore God and worship Him appropriately?
Have you heard or sung Before the Throne of God?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is one.
We did one recently called Oh to See the Dawn.
Oh, yes.
I hadn't heard that before, and Pastor Jonathan brought that, and I mean, when I heard that, I was in tears on the platform.
You know, and it's right out of Psalm 139.
Right.
And I think we did that on one of our CDs. I'm thinking of another song. It's called The Precious Blood. It's actually written from a Puritan prayer, and then in turn just put with some beautiful music.
What do you think is driving this return to non-trite, very deep, theologically grounded songs that,
yes,
that are newer in terms of their composition?
You said the right word, the theological. I do think it's a returning to more of a theological base. You know, it's probably reflecting a little bit of the depth of what is transpiring in people's understanding of theology and God. But I think it's also been a while since there has been music that has come out since, you know, the 40s.
Right.
But it's been in the same vein of music, and it's probably just a great time to be on maybe a birth of some freshness in worship.
Mm-hmm.
And could it be that God is stirring up people that are just having a hunger for Christ and are in their personal private time is just wanting more, and they want to come to church not merely to hear people sing, but they want to participate in worship. And they want to lift their hearts to the Lord with godly affections, affections like zeal and love and passion. And they want to, as the psalmist talks about, shouting, talking to the Lord, just proclaiming His greatness, His bigness.
Mm-hmm. Well, Will, we're out of time for the broadcast, but let me just end by thanking you on behalf of our church. Thank you and Christy and your team for giving us conservative music that honors the old hymns, that doesn't demean traditional music and yet contributes a freshness to the way we worship God, both in our private listening and in our corporate worship. You've helped us to grow spiritually because of it.
Well, thank you and praise the Lord.
Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless.